Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
If nobody notices our work, nobody takes the time to thank us, nobody acknowledges what we did, we start to think, what's the point? Why am I even doing this? Nobody even appreciates. Why should I even bother? And then finally somebody does come along and thank us for our work. If you have that attitude and somebody finally does say thank you, enjoy it. Enjoy them saying thank you because that's all you get. Jesus is very clear about that. Verse 2, they have received their reward in full. Verse 5, they have received their reward in full. Verse 16, they have received their reward in full. In full. If you want human reward? You got it. That's all you get. That's all you get. So you make a show of how spiritual you are, and somebody comes along and say, oh, he's pretty spiritual. Seems like he's pretty spiritual. Then they go about their business and forget all about you. That's all the reward you get. If someone sees you and says, oh, brother, who does he think he's fooling? He's not spiritual. That's all the reward you get. That's it. You try to impress people with your commitment and devotion and no one even notices, that's all the reward you get. Now, this isn't to say that you lose your heavenly reward every time somebody says thank you to you. If somebody honors you on earth, that doesn't mean you lose your heavenly reward unless that was your motive. This is what Jesus is talking here is about motives. If you do it for the purpose of receiving honor, that's when you forfeit heavenly reward. There is human reward, and there's divine reward, and you have to choose which one you're going after because you can't go after both. They're exclusive. You choose one, you forfeit the other. You can't gain man's approval without forfeiting God's approval. You can't have both because man and God approve of different things. Luke 16:15, he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What's highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. What men love, God hates. You cannot impress both. And so Jesus calls us to choose whose approval matters to you. When Jesus said they've received their reward in full, and he's saying, that's all you get, that's all you get. That language, I think, calls to mind a parent explaining to a child the principle of preferring long-term benefits over short-term ones. Right? We've all explained that to our kids. Your kid gets something, because this long-term eternal reward, that's something even a child can have some grasp of. Even a children's movie can conceive of an everlasting gobstopper, right? I mean, that appeals even to a child, a candy that's just never gone. And that's better than a regular gobstopper, right? Assuming gobstoppers are good, but they must be. So you explain these principles to your children. Your child gets maybe a birthday money. And so you take him to Walmart. He can pick out anything he wants. And there's this really cool toy that you know he'll love and he'll have a lot of fun with it for a long time to come. But instead he wants to spend his money on, you know, a soda or something. And you're trying to explain to him that in an hour from now, the soda will be gone. You won't even remember it. But this toy you're going to have for a long time. And that, I think that's the principle Jesus is trying to explain to us here. Human popularity is so short-lived. It's so shallow. It's so little. All the pleasures of this world just come to an abrupt end the day you die. And then they're over. But reward in heaven lasts forever. Later in this passage, Jesus is going to make the point that it doesn't get stolen, it doesn't decay, and we could add to that, it doesn't get spent. It never gets spent. You're going to enjoy it forever and ever and ever throughout all eternity. It'll never be spent. You'll always have it. What folly it is to forfeit that for a temporary reward. I mean, heaven, to have something forever, that's everlasting. As the great theologian Woody Allen put it, eternity is a really long time, especially toward the end. Anything in this world would be worth giving up in order to have any eternal reward. There's a question that came up last Sunday that I didn't get to. It didn't get asked in the Q&A. It was written on a prayer card. But it's such an important question. I want to read it to you. It says this. Somebody's asked, the Bible says that all our actions are tainted with sin. So how does God reward us for any actions? I thought that God was only pleased with us because of the work of Christ. So let's ask, let's think this through. Is the premise of the question true? Is it true that all our actions are tainted with sin? There is no perfect action that you do. Is that true? Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Nobody reaches perfection on this side of heaven, not even for a moment. There's never a time when you can stand up and say, aha, I'm without sin. 1 John 1:8 is clear. Even our repentance needs to be repented of, and our purest worship and prayers are shot through with sin, lack of proper passion, mixed motives, all kinds of different evils. There's never a time when we're perfect. So yes, all our actions are tainted with sin. All of them. So how can God reward actions that are tainted with sin? A perfectly holy God whose standard is perfection. How can he be satisfied with holiness mixed with sin? The answer is the sin part has been paid for on the cross by Christ, and the righteousness part is real righteousness. The good deeds done by believers, by unbelievers, aren't righteousness. The good things that non-Christians do, that's not righteousness because it's not done out of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so it's not righteousness. It's actually sin. There's nothing people in the world can do that isn't sin. Some things they do are better than other things that they do, but everything they do is sin because none of it's done for Christ. But as Christians, we do have actual righteousness in our deeds. The Holy Spirit is working in us to produce love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, all that stuff. The Holy Spirit, the Lord's working that in us. And our love and joy and peace and patience and all the faith, all of that, is it mixed with sin? Yes. But can God reward them anyway? Yeah, he can, because God is capable of separating out the true righteousness from the sin. The sin was paid for by Christ. The true righteousness is real righteousness, and it's not destroyed by the sin. Is my generosity mixed with selfishness? Absolutely. Is that bad? Yes, it's bad. But God is capable of separating out the selfish part from the generous part. And he will reward the generous part. He'll reward it because it came from his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is true only because of Christ. Only because of, it's only the favor the Lord Jesus Christ has in the eyes of the Father that makes my righteousness acceptable to God at all. However, that's not to say that God's pleasure in our righteousness is an issue of our standing only. Don't think that way. Don't think that God's favor on you is unrelated to your deeds. That's the wrong way to think. It's just the opposite. It's very much related. It's very much connected to our deeds. It's not a wage that we earn through good deeds, but it is tied to the deeds that Christ is working in you. It's true that the Father is only pleased with you because of Christ, but he's not just pleased with Christ's work on the cross. The Father is also pleased with Christ's work in your heart. The things that he's doing in your life, God is pleased with that. He's pleased with the things Jesus is producing in you, and he's quite capable of distinguishing between the righteousness and the unrighteousness. And the latter doesn't destroy the former. I think sometimes in our zeal to protect God's grace and to avoid a system of merit, We go too far and we invent a system where we have a father who's totally unresponsive to the deeds of his children. We get so carried away with our favorable position in Christ and the concept of imputed righteousness that we forget that there's also a practical righteousness. God is not unresponsive to our deeds. It's not just that he just looks at you, sees Christ, and that's all that happens. There's also a sense in which he's actually responsive to you and your actual deeds in negative and positive ways. And he rewards you. He doesn't pay you a salary, as in most religions, where you have to earn your way to heaven through good works. But he does give rewards based on deeds. And as we saw last week, the difference is in relationship. God responds to our good deeds, not like an employer paying a wage that's owed, but like a father who's responsive to the fumbling efforts of his beloved child. Relationships are built around responsiveness, interaction. God does something, we respond. Then God responds to our response, and back and forth. That's what a relationship is. Interaction is essential for a relationship to exist or grow. That's what they are. And so we don't want to invent a system where God is unresponsive to our deeds. So how can God reward our imperfect deeds? He can do it because it's no problem for him to separate the good from the bad in our motives.
It's no trouble for God to sort out our motives, but it is trouble for us. It's very difficult. A lot of times our good motives are mixed in with bad motives, and we have a tough time sorting them out. We're going to talk in the next episode about a tool that God gives us to help us sort out our motives so we can figure out which ones are good and which ones are bad. So I hope you can tune in again next time. But for now, I got a couple of questions for you. First, think of something you did recently that you believe is pleasing to God, but that no one will ever give you any credit for. Take a moment to just enjoy the fact that God took note of it, liked it, and is pleased with you over it, and will reward it. And number two, now think back to a time when you were distressed because you didn't get credit in the eyes of people for something. And do the same process again with that event. Enjoy the fact that God took note of it, he noticed it, he liked it, he's pleased with you, and he will reward it. Keep thinking about that until you don't need accolades from people anymore.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.